The Lord be with you. You're very welcome today. I'm steamed up and I can't see anything. You're very welcome today to our harvest service. It's a lovely opportunity to thank God for all the things that he has given us and to share what we have with those who are going without. And we're very grateful to those contributions you've made to the larder, and we know that they will be very well used. A few notices. This week, our organizations are taking a break, with the exception of the toddler group. Those people already have tickets, and Pilates. So we're all taking a break, although some of us would have toddled and others will have stretched. Things back to normal next week. And it's a special day today. This morning, we're very fortunate to have Reverend Adrian McCartney, rector of Beaver Parish Church, and Adrian will be preaching this morning, and we look forward to hearing as he unpacks the word of the Lord. Our opening hymn is "Come Ye Thankful People, Come." Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm this morning is going to be sung by the choir. It is Psalm 65.
Thank you. The Old Testament reading this morning is from Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 15. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We'll now join with our choir and sing part one of the Te Deum.
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 8, beginning at the first verse. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases: Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out; Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household; Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our choir are now going to sing for us, and they're going to sing an anthem by Maurice Greene entitled, Thou Visiteth the Earth. Thank you very much for that. Our theme on climate change continues, and it's especially relevant at harvest. And we're going to watch a small video to continue our thoughts on climate change.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Creator God, who made all things, we acknowledge as your handiwork, we stand alongside all which you have created.
Trees, rivers, mountains and valleys, soaring birds and scuttling creatures, all are held within your care.
May we grow in our love and appreciation for your creation, and may our awe and wonder draw us closer to you, the God of all things.
Your kingdom come.
The earth is the Lord's and everything in it.
For you so loved the world, the cosmos, the entirety of creation, of which we humans are just one part.
May we learn again how to care for this planet.
As we pause and consider the climate emergency, we remember that we're praying to the Lord of all the earth.
Give us today our daily bread.
Lord, grant us the wisdom to care for your
earth.
Sharing your provision and goodness with all our neighbours.
Founded on the covenant of your love.
Lord God, you made the world and declared it was very good.
As temperatures rise, storms rage, forests burn, and islands sink, it is the people who have done the least to cause the climate crisis who are suffering the most.
We stand together in sorrow.
We ask for forgiveness, for you are the God of all, who restores all relationships when we repent.
Forgive us for decades of inaction and for not living in accordance with your will.
As we forgive those who sin against us.
I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority.
World leaders gathered at COP26 carry a huge burden of responsibility over this world that you love so much.
We hold them in our prayers. May they have humble and wise hearts.
We pray for anointed diplomacy, boldness, and conviction to show your love to those who have least.
We pray for unity among the nations and for compelling voices and leaders to rise up so that miraculously action will begin.
Chikwabe mphelela, chikwatu kulira mmanjamwano, chikwatika bemphela, mumamva.
Watotherana mwitkosha.
But deliver us from evil.
May we remember that we are a global community. Our actions and choices affect one another.
Help us resist the temptation to make choices for our convenience and to consider how those choices affect our neighbors across the world.
Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth.
Help us respond with the radical love of Jesus.
A love that disrupts the status quo and sacrifices itself to bring restoration.
This is our responsibility.
This is our worship.
Lord, renew us in a steadfast spirit and cleanse our hearts.
Renew our minds and transform our lives.
Renew our world.
Car c'est à toi qu'appartiennent le règne, la puissance et la gloire.
Now and forever. Amen.
Let's make a shared response declaring our belief in our Creator God. We'll stand together and say the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. A special prayer for today, a prayer of harvest thanksgiving. Eternal God, you crown the year with your goodness, and give us the fruits of the earth in their season. Grant that we may use them to your glory, for the relief of those in need, and for our own well-being through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together in worship. Our next hymn is Good is the Lord.
Please be seated. Good morning, everyone. And could I just say, light switch. Could I just say how lovely it is to be with you this morning? I'm just from along the carriageway. And I grew up in Dundonald, so this is all very, very much like home. But could I say that I wasn't prepared for walking in through the door and walking up to the front here this morning, because there was a sudden rush of emotion inside of me, because just over 10 years ago, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And Tuesday night in St. Finian's became a regular spot for us, and I had forgotten all about that. I'm happy to say my wife is now in the category of cancer survivor, but sitting here this morning and looking at the rails where we knelt so many weeks weeping. So it just made me think, when we're gathered in like this today, that we should never make any assumptions about how much effort the other folks around us have had to make to be here today. What might be going on in their lives, what could be happening in their own hearts and minds, in their own families. So it's a real privilege to be among you this morning, because looking down at you, could I just say you all look very normal, okay? But I bet you hidden away in behind all of what looks like normal, contented people, there are anxieties and fears, maybe doubts, maybe wondering, Yeah. So let's just be a fellowship of people gathered together here today with whatever we have brought with us. This Harvest Sunday, I think this Sunday has to take second place to another Sunday in the annual calendar. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this. I was a chorister in St. Anne's Cathedral way back when I was a child. And Stephen Gagan, I think is a parishioner here, we were both head boys together. He's a much better singer than me, so if he's not here, don't tell him I said that. He was a wonderful boy soloist. But anyway, way back then, we followed religiously, and when I say religiously, I mean that, in the cathedral, the Sundays and the Psalms and Canticles and everything like that. And exactly 6 months from harvest, earlier in the year, there's another Sunday. It's called Rogation Sunday. And this year, I think it was around about the 8th or 9th of May, just in that period of time between Easter and Pentecost, just around about Ascension, was Rogation Sunday. And rogation, the word rogation comes from, I'm sure you'll be fascinated by this, from a Latin verb, rogare, which means to ask. And on Rogation weekend, 6 months ago, what on earth would they have been asking for? In medieval times, the congregation used to go out and follow the vicar or rector and the church wardens, and they would have walked around the edges of the parish. And they would have prayed for the fields, they would have prayed for the farmers' families, for the animals, for the fertility of the ground, for the weather over the coming 6 months. Because without Rogation Sunday, you can't have harvest. Harvest is the result of something that happened 6 months ago when the farmers went out to plant. And they have been hoping with faith and no doubt with prayer that the summer will be good and the harvest will be plentiful. Of course, for most of us, we just rely on Tesco and all the other shops. But somewhere way back, there were a group of people who had to plant with faith and with hope so that we could have harvest. So today, there's something about we are giving thanks today for the faith of some others who went before us and who planted something, hoping it would happen. Now, in our New Testament story today, there's a story about a farmer. We're told that a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, some fell on rocky ground, some seed fell among thorns, and other seed fell on good soil. Now, I have wondered for many years. Now, I know the Bible is not meant to be a farming manual, but you have to believe that when Jesus told stories and parables to the people around him, that he didn't just make them up out of nowhere, but that they were based on things that he had watched, things that he had seen, maybe even things that he heard. Now, Jesus grew up in a rural village called Nazareth, although he probably grew up in a house that had a joinery shop attached to it of some sort, because we know that Joseph was some kind of joiner, builder, carpenter, something like that. But the village itself would have relied heavily on agriculture. It was a rural village. So I don't know whether Jesus had been involved in planting or in harvesting or all those things. I could imagine in places like that. I grew up in Dundonald, and I remember the week when we used to go out and pick potatoes on the farms out on the Greengraves Road, and there were people from all over Dundonald out there picking potatoes. So I don't know, in Nazareth, maybe Jesus went out helping with the spreading of the seed, maybe helping in with the harvest. But I wonder, did he wonder, the question that I'm going to ask you in a wee moment, why does a farmer who does this every year, why does he throw the seed on the path and on the rocky ground and among the thorns, when he must know last year I got nothing back from that? I wonder, did Jesus ever wonder that? Because when Jesus comes up with this story, he's trying to tell us two things about God. He's trying to tell us that God is incredibly generous with us, repeatedly generous, in that he keeps throwing the seed out every year, and he throws it out onto the rocky ground, the thorny ground, and the path, and in the weeds. he just keeps on throwing the seed out. It tells us something of God's huge generosity towards us. But it also tells us about God's amazing ability to not be limited by our response. Because this farmer must have thought, I threw seed there last year and didn't get a thing back, I'll not bother. But apparently this farmer throws the seed out there anyway. And God's like that with you and me. He constantly, graciously, mercifully, kindly, generously throws out the seed onto all of us, repeatedly. Let me give you a wee example. When I was a student at Stromulus College way back in the late 70s, I was training to be a teacher. I had fallen in love with a young girl, and she's now my wife. How can I say this? Not kindly of her. She is and has always been wonderful. But Janice belonged to an Elam Pentecostal church, and I was a chorister in St. Anne's Cathedral. So it's quite a different style of worship and of church membership and everything else. So Janice was what looked to me terribly enthusiastic about everything and seemed to know a whole lot more about her Bible and about praying and about witnessing to people and all sorts of things that were all a bit lost on me, to be honest. But anyway, I went with her one night to a student Christian gathering, and a man called, I've written it down, let me look it up, Joe Campbell from YMCA in Belfast, who became quite well known during the Troubles as someone working in reconciliation work in our city. He was making a plea for people to come and help as youth volunteers in the YMCA in the city centre at weekends. And I, stumbling along in my faith, trying desperately to find out a bit more and wanting to join in a bit more and everything, this felt like seeds being thrown onto me. And without telling Janice, I went and signed up that night. And a couple of Saturdays later, we were then invited to a training day in the YMCA in the city centre. And I went along, there were about 30 of us there for this training, and Janice knew by that stage that I was going, but she hadn't volunteered for this, but she was very pleased that I had. And I went along, and on the Saturday morning, it was morning and afternoon, they taught us about praying with people and about sharing our faith with people and about listening to people and all sorts of things. And then we were let out for an hour at lunchtime. And you know what I did? I got on the 16 bus and went home to Dundonald. Okay. Thought, I'm never, ever doing that again. It was terrifying. So I'm just sharing with you, okay, hard ground here, right? Hard ground. A few months later than that, I belonged to the youth fellowship in St. Elizabeth's. And a guy who was my peer, we were all students, but he was a little bit ahead of me. He asked me if I would like to help him lead the youth fellowship. And with that same sense of fear, I agreed. It was like the farmer throwing the seeds again. And I joined in, and I didn't do very much. I remember doing one talk that ruined weeks and weeks of my life, at having to do this one talk. But I did that for a couple of years. And then the farmer came along and threw some more seeds. We had a curate way back then in St. Elizabeth's called Fanta Clark, went on to become a bishop. And St. Elizabeth's at that time had been planting a daughter church in Ballybean, St. Mary's Ballybean. And my mother had gone down there to start a Sunday school. And Fanta Clark, who was curate in St. Elizabeth's, but was sort of curate in charge kind of thing down in Ballybean, approached me and Janice and said, you've been helping with St. Elizabeth's Youth Fellowship for quite a wee while now. Would you like to come and start a youth fellowship in St. Mary's? And the seeds got into good ground. And we started a youth fellowship became far better than St. Elizabeth's Youth Fellowship. Okay, anyway, let's just move along. Move along from all of that. Yeah. There was something about the generosity of God, of keeping revisiting this person. And I think God does that with all of us. No matter how many times we've failed, no matter how many times it's felt like hard ground and the things didn't take root or it didn't grow in us or it didn't come alive the way we had sort of hoped when we put our hand up or signed our name on a sheet or said, yes, I'll go along to that. The generosity of God to keep throwing the seed out. Now, let me just hold that wee thought there. Let me take you to Mothering Sunday last March up in Beaver. I have an assistant up there called Chris Bennett, the Reverend Chris Bennett, and at that stage, everything was being watched on screens, right? Everything was on screens at home or wherever you could watch it. And Chris decided on Mothering Sunday that he was the preacher for the day, and he decided that he would interview his mother. So he sat down and he recorded her, of course, and it was all edited together. And he came up with something that I'm going to show you, all right? As he embarrassed his mother by saying, "Mommy, do you remember this?" And he got out a jumper that his mother had knit for him. Okay. Right. Okay. Now, look at that. Oh, sorry, can you all see this round here? Right, I was thinking of wearing that instead of a cassock this morning. Well, can I hang that? Is that hanging there?
Yes.
Is it? Right. And if it falls down, it's okay. This isn't actually the jumper that his mother knit, but it is just the same. And he got this on, and he put it on, and of course it was hanging off the ends of his arms and away down to his knees and everything. But I went back this week and got the recording out, and this was the words that he said with the jumper. "This for me is the dictionary definition of a mother's love. No matter what evidence I may produce to the contrary, my mother thinks I will fit this jumper. In her mind as she knits it, I am a massive 7 foot tall monster of a man with rippling muscles and long arms." And here's the good bit. "But what a marvelous thing it is in this critical and discouraging world to have someone who believes the best in you